Good morning. I'm kind of like Shannon. Can you believe this is the last year or the last Sunday of the old year? We're looking at a new year ahead of us, and I'm wondering, where has the year gone? It's just gone really fast. As I was beginning preparation for this sermon, I thought I might just for a few moments reflect back over the year and give glory to God for what He has done among us. 2025 has been a good year for our church family. Our church has grown, and you can see that. You're here on Sundays and you see the seats are full, and we're giving praise to God for that. I know that numbers are not everything. Numbers do not tell the whole story, and I don't intend to insinuate that at all, but they are an indicator. They are an indicator that good things are happening. And I just want to say, if you are new here to Reinhardt and you are helping these numbers to increase, we want you to know that we are glad you're here. And we want to see you plant your roots deep. First of all, into Jesus. And we want you, too, to plant your roots deep with our church. We're just wanting to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. That should be the goal of every one of us, that we would be growing deeper into Christ. And another thing that I give praise to the Lord for, we've had more baptisms in 25 than any of the 8 years that I've been here at Reinhardt. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for every one of you who have made decisions for Jesus to make Him the Lord of your life. And they have been some memorable baptisms here in 25. We've had some river baptisms back in the summer, some warm baptisms. The Wilson family, I see some of them back here in the back, those are memories that I'll have, I'm sure, for the rest of my life, and memories that you will have for the rest of your life, that family that was there. And then last Saturday, wow, two baptisms in the frigid waters of the Marmaton, Dan and Angela Moore, and those are baptisms that we will not forget. And we give praise to God for every baptism that we have had. May you grow in your relationship with Jesus. You that have made that decision to follow Him in 2025, make it your goal, your desire to grow deeper into Jesus. And I will say this, too. A good number of the baptisms that we have had have happened because you have been inviting your friends and your family to Jesus. And you're inviting them to come to church with you. And God bless you for that. And may that continue to happen. I was traveling from home to the church a couple of Sundays ago, Cindy and I, and we had K-Love on the radio, and they were talking and saying that there had been a survey asking this question, why don't people go to church? You know what the number one answer back to that question was? They said, because we have never been invited. And so keep that in mind, a personal invitation that you give to someone in your sphere of influence, it can make a difference in their life. They may come upon your invitation here. So please invite your family, invite your friends, and if they come and meet Jesus while they are here, they will be grateful to you for all eternity. So be one who just regularly gives invitations to people to come to church on Sunday. My wife
has said just recently, you know, I invite people all the time, and I know that she does because I'm standing there and she's inviting people that's standing across the cash, you know, by the cash register and across that bar. She's inviting them to church all the time. And she was saying, I give all kinds of invitations out, but nobody ever comes. Last week, there were two people here that she had invited to come to church. And it just is a reminder to me. You may have to give out 20, 30, 40 invitations to someone before one will respond. But when one responds, and if they come to Jesus, what a blessing. What a blessing that will be. I praise God for His work among us. Here's something else that I'm praising God for that has happened in 2025 here at Reinhardt. You've noticed the number of young families coming here. And I've heard people talking about that. I've noticed it. It's wonderful. And I hope that if you are one of those young families who have made your way to Reinhardt in this last year, I hope that you will find this as your church home. You've heard it said, the young people are the future of the church. How many of you have heard that said? Yeah. The young people are the future of the church. And I think that is very true. Because if a church is made up just of older people, those older people do take their turn and die off and go to heaven. And I think Reinhardt's future is bright as we have a good number of young families here. And again, please, if you're one of those families, grow your spiritual roots into Jesus and into His Word, because it will be you who leads this church into the next generation. I'm thinking about our elders right now. And we have some wonderful, wonderful elders. We have some godly men. Some of them are getting older. I guess all of them are getting older. But some of them are getting... We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. How do you define the word old? And, well, probably some of... You could say some of our elders are getting older. They have been leading this church, Everett, for how long? How long have you been in leadership here? You know?
Since 41.
Since you were 41. And so, I can't hear. I'm getting older. Anyway, Everett and Gary and Steve Long and Tim, they've been in leadership here for a long time. And they are getting older. And I'm not sending them off into heaven right now by saying this, but the day will come when each of those guys go to be with Jesus. And we need some of you younger guys to stand up and take their place. And I'm looking at several of you guys around this auditorium. We need you in leadership here. And so take it seriously. Say, I want that. I want to be a leader here. I want to be God's man. And I want to be like Everett. I want to be like Gary and Steve and Tim. I want to lead this church to the glory of God and the Holy Spirit in me. We're not capable of this kind of leadership ourselves, but the Holy Spirit in us. The future of Reinhardt, I think, is good as we see these young guys growing their roots deeper into Jesus. And two things that have happened with our staff over 2025, we have made some really good decisions, praise the Lord. Haley Johnson has been hired as our children's minister back in January of 2025, and she is doing a wonderful job with our kids. And then Elijah, he has been here. And these two are, Haley and Elijah, I don't think they're here this morning to even hear this. So I want you to tell them when you see them how much you're pleased with them and give praise to God for them. Elijah's been here for 13 plus years. And there was a change in his responsibilities this last year as Haley came on to be the children's minister. Elijah has continued with middle school and high school, but he took on some responsibilities as our involvement minister, and he's doing a good job with that, recruiting some of you into places of service. And he's given attention to some things that weren't being attended to before. And I just feel fortunate. I feel so blessed to be able to work with Elijah and Haley here on this staff. And something else, and then I'm going to get to the sermon. As we're looking back over 2025, we became debt-free here at Reinhardt, and praise God for that. And I don't know how long we'll stay debt-free. Maybe you've noticed some steel framework on the east side of our gym, and that's been purchased for whenever the time is right that we would begin a new building. And we're trusting for God's leadership there. But because we have been debt-free in this year, we were able to purchase that in cash for $27,000, it's over $100,000 value. And God gave that to us as a gift. And then we've been able to do some amazing things with missions. We gave a fifth Sunday offering to Good News Productions here a month ago. Nearly $15,000 went to that ministry for the purpose of world evangelism. And I praise God for that. EK, our missionary in India, had sent us an email and said that there had been a flood in India and an entire village had been wiped out. All of their grass huts, their homes, had been wiped away. And animals, their cows, their oxen, their goats had been killed. And people, it was amazing, nobody, no human being was killed. But there was just devastating loss in this one village. And I'm not sure if there were more than one village. I think maybe so. But it was a devastating flood. And he was asking for help. And we sent $2,000 to India for EK to use to spread the love of Jesus to people there. And EK, shortly after he received that gift, he sent word back that there had been 9 souls baptized into Jesus that they had helped with that money that we sent. Besides all of the love that had been shared for people who were in need. We gave $3,000 to community outreach to help with the people in our own area who were in need and struggling due to the governmental shutdown. Again, praise to God for all of this as we look back over 2025. And let me say this, all of us, all in, all the time. Would you say that with me, please? All of us, all in, all the time. That's been our theme for 25, and I hope the emphasis has helped you determine to be more all in with Jesus. I'm going to give you one more challenge. This last sermon of the year, I'm going to give you one more challenge to be all in with Jesus all of the time, to go deeper with Him. And this will be the challenge. These are the 4 areas I want to challenge you in. I think they'll be on the screen here. I want to challenge you to go deeper. No, that's not it. Maybe it won't be on the screen. I'm going to challenge you to go deeper with the Word of God. I'm going to challenge you to go deeper with God through prayer. I'm going to challenge you to lead your family into a deeper walk with Jesus. And I want to challenge you to go deeper with your service and your witness for God. So these are the 4 points I'm going to tackle in the remaining time that we have, and I will be concise with each point because really this is the big picture. This is the big picture. And we've talked about all of these things this last year, but this is a wrap-up. This is a one more challenge to go deeper with Him. First of all, let's go deeper with the Word of God. All of us, all in with the Word of God. This book can save your soul, says James 1. And the reason that is true is this book points us to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father outside of Him. This book introduces us to Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to be all in with this book. Get to know Jesus better. This book teaches us how to be saved. This book teaches us how we got here and who was behind that, who the Creator is. And this book tells us why we are here. And this book tells us where we are going. We need to go deeper into this book, and the truth is, however deep we are right now with this book, there's always room to go deeper. Isn't that right? Some of you, maybe you're just getting started in this book, or maybe that's where you need to get to. I want to start being in this book. For others, it's a matter of going deeper. Maybe you're one who's been in the book for years and years, all, 50-some years, 60-some years. There's always room to go deeper with this book. No matter how many times you read this book, the next time you read it, there is a possibility of you finding a nugget of truth that you've never really focused on before. And God can use that nugget of truth to help you in your present lifestyle, and I have found that to be true just recently. I don't know how many times in my life I've read the book of Psalms. I mean, dozens of times. Dozens and dozens and dozens of times I have read the book of Psalms, and here just in the last couple of years, I have focused on a verse that has kind of sprung off of the page to me. Psalms 56, verse 3, it says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." And I the first time that that verse just sprung off of the page from me was on a Wednesday night, probably 2 years ago. I was right here at the church helping with the third and fourth graders on their memory verses. And these kids, they're being challenged to memorize Scripture, and those adults who are in with them help them with those memory verses. And I was that adult for that night, and Psalms 56:3 was the verse. And these kids, they're reading it, and they're memorizing it, and they're coming, and they're quoting it to me. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a verse I need to memorize too. And I did memorize it. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And here a few weeks ago, I was on the table at the hospital, and the doctor's right there, and the anesthesiologist is right there, and I'm about to be put to sleep, and they're going to put the paddles to me, trying to kick this heart back into rhythm, and I'm saying, when I am afraid, I'll put my trust in you. And here they come at me. When I am afraid, I'll put my trust in you. That's what I was saying to myself. That's the prayer that I was praying as they're getting ready to do their work on my body. And I will tell you, I was totally at peace. Not because I'm so tough, not because I have it all together, but because I know who has me in his hands. And there's no reason to be afraid. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, God. And that's, brothers and sisters, why we need to go deeper with the Word of God, because there is always going to be a nugget of truth for you right where you're at in your life. And by the way, I will tell you, our theme for 26 is going to be trusting God. I'm going to challenge you and challenge myself to be trusting God as these days and weeks and months ahead of us come our way. We need to be trusting God. And we just need to be intentional about going deeper with God's Word. As we go deeper with His Word, we find peace, we find joy, we find comfort, we find wisdom, and a deeper faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to go deeper with Jesus? Then you have to go deeper with the Word of God. Let me challenge you with the second point. Go deeper with God through prayer. Just a few weeks ago, as I closed out the book of James, I asked this question: what if we all got serious about prayer? It's a valid question, and prayer is something all of us can do. Probably not everybody would feel comfortable being up here preaching. Not everybody feels comfortable being up here singing. I've never been asked to sing up here. Not everybody could do what Rick did earlier. Not everybody feels comfortable coming up here and giving a communion meditation. Not everybody is able to be the fix-it person that Larry Paddock that guy. I'm getting older. I can't call him by name. But not everybody can be that fix-it person that these guys are. But you know what? Everybody can pray. All of us can pray. And we need to. We can choose to go deeper in our prayer life. Richard Foster tells a story about a time when he was just a kid, 10 to 11 years old, and he went with his dad one Sunday afternoon to visit one of the shut-ins from their church. And they visited one older lady at her home. She was confined to her bed. She could not get out of bed. She was that kind of condition. And Richard Foster says that as a kid, he stood there by her bedside and he was thinking, this is terrible, being stuck in this bed. And the older lady who's in that bed kind of read his mind. She knew what he's thinking. And she said, oh, don't you worry about me, sonny. Hand me that book right there off of that table. And so Richard Foster grabs this book, he gives it to her. It's a photo album. 200 pictures in that photo album of missionaries. 200 missionaries, their name, where they serve. And she said, every day, this is what I do with my time. I pray And I'm praying for every one of these missionaries and their work every day. And Richard Foster said, as a 10 to 11-year-old kid, at that point, he realized that he was standing on holy ground. All of us can pray. We can't maybe do this or that in the church, but every one of us can pray. I was in the home of a good friend of mine about three Sunday nights ago. Gene Winter is his name. Gene is 93 years old. He can't see very well these days. He can't hear much, although he does hear me pretty good. And he listens to my sermons every week on our website. He's a shut-in now. And Gene, as I am sitting there talking with him, he picked up this book off of his table, and it was a photo book. And inside each photo, each page, there was a picture of a grandkid, and he's got a bunch of grandkids. And he said, "This is my prayer book, and I can't do some of the things I used to do anymore," he said, "but I can pray." And every day he picks that prayer book up, that photo book, and he just kind of turns the page, and whichever grandkid's picture comes up, that's who he's praying for all through the day. Bless you, Gene. I love you. And we all can go deeper in our prayer life with Jesus. How about this? I want to challenge you to lead your family into a deeper walk with God. Not only do we need leaders here at this church, we need leaders in the home, moms and dads, who will intentionally lead their children into the ways of Jesus. And that happens as we verbalize to them what is important, but also they need to see us living the Jesus life in front of them. It's quite a confusing thing for our kids if they hear us say one thing, but then see us doing something different. And so I want to challenge you, moms and dads, as you have young ones in the home still, you show them Jesus and you lead them into a deeper walk with Jesus. Could you teach your kids how to forgive? How to forgive their offender by you being willing to forgive those who offend you. Could I challenge you to teach your kids how important church is by showing them how important it is to you? That you're here regularly, and not just when it's convenient, but that you are here on a regular basis. I will tell you, if church is just a point of convenience for you, that you're here when it works out with your calendar, then it's not very likely that church is going to be very important for your kids as they get out of the house. I can guarantee you that will be true. Because I've seen it for 40-some years in ministry. Our kids have to see in us an example. Husbands, show your sons what it means to treat their wife with respect by letting them see you treat your wife, their mother, with respect. Moms, show your daughters what it means to dress modestly by dressing modestly yourself. May they know that prayer and God's word is important to you because they have seen you praying and they have seen you in the word. Lead your family into a deeper walk with Jesus. This, all of us, all in, all the time. And one final point, go deeper into your service and witnessing for God. This would be a natural direction to go if you were seeking to be all in all the time. Look at what you can do for Him. Look at who you can tell about Him. The person who is all in doesn't sit on the sidelines watching others play the game. No, they look for a way to get into the game and be a participant. And that's what we need to be doing. You remember the story of Matt Emmons? I think I have a picture of Matt Emmons. He's one of the best shooters in American history. He has won several medals through his career of competitive shooting. In fact, I saw a picture of him and his wife as he was retiring, and the table in front of them, the medals, was amazing how successful he has been. His first Olympics, 2004, he had already won one gold medal, and now he was holding a commanding lead in the men's 50-meter final. He's got the gold medal in the bag, seemingly. Just one more shot. Put some points on the board, lock it up, and the medal was his. He raised his gun, set his sights on the center of the target, and squeezed the trigger. Boom! Bullseye! Second gold medal was his, except, hold on, no score appeared on the board. What? What's going on? He looked at the officials. Was this some kind of mistake? Nope. Matt Emmons had hit the bullseye on the wrong target. You remember that? He got mixed up and he shot the target. He hit the bullseye square in the middle, and he shot the target that was his competitor's target. And instead of getting a gold medal, because you shoot the bullseye on your competitor's target, you don't get any points. Instead of getting the gold medal, he got eighth place. You know, there are a lot of people who spend their whole life aiming at the wrong target. Oh, if I could just get some more money. If I could just get some more stuff. If I could just have one more medal. If I could just have a nicer house, if I could just drive a nicer car, if I could just, and we aim at the wrong stuff. And it gets us nowhere at the end. It gets us nowhere at the end. We have got to set our sights on Jesus. All of us, all in, all the time.